Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by ending up on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, native seed collection and propagation are the next boom industry, researcher says. And the researcher I'm talking about is Adam Cross, and he is the restoration ecologist at Curtin University. We're going to have a chat with him now on the line. Adam, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you. I'm fantastic. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, look, fantastic. Native seed collection and propagation, the next boom industry, which is great for First Nation people, and about restoration of land and the ecology of land, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really increasingly looking at doing whatever we possibly can to cease destruction of landscapes and to try and work towards their return and trying to bring back as much biodiversity as we can to the landscape.
Fantastic. So you're working close with the First Nation people on this project?
I am. I'm directly employed by traditional owners out of the northeast Kimberley, the Kijin and Mirawang people, and they are central to absolutely everything that we do in restoration throughout that east Kimberley region.
Look, it's about time. When we talk about our people, especially our elders, they are professors in their own right. And when you're talking about looking after country and 60,000 years, you could say professors in more ways than one, yes?
Oh, I'd say much more knowledge than many professors that I know. I mean, you can't fathom the depth of traditional knowledge that these communities and the people within them have. I think that any comparison wouldn't really do it any justice.
So that in itself becomes a university when you're working on land, so to speak, you know, the education, but also the operation of First Nation people and their elders and how they used to operate. It's now back on the table, and we're talking nurturing and we're talking education and all of the above, yes?
Absolutely. There is no one, I mean, this isn't just an Australian issue, it's around the world, but, exactly. You know, there is no one who is better placed to know about and to manage landscapes than the people who've lived on those landscapes for thousands of years. And it's really about time, if not well overdue, that we're starting to see traditional peoples and Indigenous peoples around the world becoming stewards of these landscapes.
So how did you come about this? Did you go knocking on the door, or did there was an opportunity for you, or you saw something and you think, I want to be at this table? How did this come about?
So I've worked for quite a few years now in a field called restoration ecology, which is all about returning biodiversity and functioning ecosystems back to lands that have been damaged and degraded, often by mining and other activities.
Yes.
And the Gilgenium mob up in the northeast Kimberley have been working with the Argyle Diamond Mine to be involved with and assist them in the restoration of that mine as it progresses towards closure. And they read about some of the research that we've been doing with traditional owner groups in the Midwest region, for example, MEDAC and some others.
Yes.
And they actually approached me and asked whether I'd like to be involved and whether I could assist in some of that process, bringing some of the Western science across to the cultural knowledge that was being applied.
So when you talk about mining, so mining companies, they scar the country, don't they? Are they at the table in regarding a restoration as well, or is it care factor zero?
If you'd asked that question 10 to 20 years ago, I'd say that many people would say care factor zero, absolutely. Fortunately, there is much higher standards that these companies are now being held to account over.
Yes.
You know, sometimes there's still not the outcomes that we're after. But yeah, there are many companies out there that really, you know, significantly want to improve their practice and really do good things to return these environments as best they can following what can be pretty catastrophic disturbance. You know, if you dig a 300-metre deep hole in the side of a hill, there's not very much left.
No, exactly. You know, and well, it's about the communication or the agreement or conversation that needs to be had when working on land, and also working dealing with the TO, traditional owners of the land. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that we're really passionate about, and I'm really passionate about, is that we don't keep this kind of colonialistic approach to how this is all undertaken. Right? It's not about imposing a mining opportunity or something like that on a landscape or its peoples. It's about them being involved in that entire process to be able to assist in what happens afterwards, who benefits, where the money goes, you know, the full process.
The full process. So the company would like to have someone like you at the table in regard to for them to adhere to their operations and their commitment as such and communication, yes?
Yeah, I'm really only one voice in
discussion. Yes.
I mean, I have no cultural authority to speak on behalf of any of the people in that region. What I can bring is, you know, the knowledge of ecosystems and plants and animals and how we can try and bring them back. But certainly there's a huge amount of knowledge and expertise that is brought by the various elders and other people that are part of that discussion as well.
Yeah, but your information on the ecology side of things, you bring it to the table for the TOs and then they use their voice to, I mean, information and knowledge is power, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen even in the relationship with Argyle over the last few years that the knowledge and the power with which the traditional people are speaking and teaching Argyle about that relationship and the importance of country has really improved. It's quite amazing to see.
And also we need to see my friends. Look, thank you very much for sharing. Love the work that you're doing. Big shout out to the TO, the mob over there you're working with. Fantastic. Your Gungeon mob, and it is a team effort. And thank you for sharing, my friend.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All the best, Adam. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there, and that is Adam Cross. He's the ecologist and researcher for Curtin University and working with the Gungeon mob over there in WA, and is about looking after country and especially after scarring from mining companies. But the mining company need to have the conversation from the get-go and need to dot the I's, cross the T's, so to speak, all the way through and looking after country. That's what it's all about. Have you say your mob yarn up song, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yarn with the ball around Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry, your host for your daily program National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. gal.
Yeah, Deadly Track there, Munyan Nubalek Band, here on your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarnup with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, your mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up now with Tony Gibbs. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. Morning, everybody.
How you going, brother? You travelling good?
Yeah, sort of very quiet at the moment in one way, but like you're rocking the song just now, still trying to draw attention to the green patch and get the local press on side, and it's just hopeless. Wing TV called me and then they were going to do it and then they didn't and then they did and then there's election and there's someone in town. I said, look, I'm just going to go ahead. I called them this morning. I'm not going to wait for you, fella. And the same thing with the Cairns Post, you know, they say, Wing TV said, oh yeah, we'll only come out if you've got a protest. Well, I said, well, I've been protesting there for over a month myself on my own, you know, and I just plastered the whole building because it's crime week. I put the wanted poster on with the mayor on it up on the wall and all his gang, you know.
Have you got any locals standing with you? Are they in agreement to people living in the area?
I've got all the travellers behind me. I don't really know the locals, you know. I'm isolated. I've been up in Goldsborough for years and years looking after the title of Donna, you know. 6 months and 2 days. And I've been up there for years, and so I know the people in the shop and the post office, but as far as socialising, I've lived in a really black world, you know.
Is anybody out there feeling the same way you're feeling and singing
well,
a song?
Yeah, mate, because when I'm down there, some of the young people come up and they said, oh, yeah, we lost Nan, we still call you Papa, you know, that's my form.
Sure.
I've got an extended family and they still, you know, and I'm brother and I'm granddad and I'm this and that to different people. Just because she's gone, that doesn't say I'm not a person anymore. Because some people respect me, but then on the other side, there's racism, you know, racism comes from both sides and some people call my missus white man love, and I don't want to go into that.
Sure.
I mean, because it's like the Johnny Cat, you walk the line, you don't suit either side, and as a couple, black and white, sometimes we never did, sometimes we did, you know. But you know, you get to know who you can get on with, you know.
Sure.
A really racial thing, you know, and so, yeah, like you say, it's black for the show, you know, black on black, far out, that's good. But sometimes diversity has strength. I'll just say that, you know.
Of course. It's election time now. What about the so-called candidates throwing their hat in the arena? I mean, have you had a chat to them?
Well, this is the whole thing. Everybody goes, oh, elections or corona or this or that. You know, what will be, will be. But we're trying to get a local story out, and they just use it as a red herring, oh, we're busy, election, you know. They say, well, we've got a drama here, you know. Down the river on Friday night, there's F100 or truck racing up and down the high bank of the river. You're doing whirlies under the bridge. I was going to film it, but it's just out of control down here, and I explained this over and over to Wind TV. I said, look, I'll give you 60 minutes, fellas, five different shows. You like one on Hells, one on Native Title, one on the Green Patch. But right now it's the green patch because we want, it's our cultural site. And so the fella, the different Murrays and all kind of mixed race people here, you know, they'll come through and they'll tell me, you know, and they'll tell me, oh, who put all this shit here? You know, they pay Paradise, put up a parking lot and locked out the locals. We can't take our car down there. But it's what Peter Garrett had that LP, Redneck Wonderland. This is Wonderland. This is it. The Green Patch in Gouldenville. And we used to drive over the highway and you see the pipeline there, the water supply and the kids. And the kids all playing on the pipe, you know.
Sure.
You don't see that anymore.
Because yep, those were the days.
But this is only last year, you know. And now the council have got a sign. It's all enamelled plug pictures on the thing. Oh, generally, this will close on October the 31st, which is this election day, which is Saturday. And so all the travellers are wondering, too, if they're seasonal workers and people, and I get on really well with them, and they're the ones that have been taking these flyers. I've been working with them for a month, and all these young people are putting it on the internet because it's a big shame for Cairns.
Sure.
They can't do that. But there's all these young people that care, you know. It's not out, you know, I mean, outside brains, diversity is our strength. And so they're the messengers. All the people in that rest area,
But it seems like it's fallen on deaf ears, isn't it, Tony?
Well, it's not now, mate. It's national. And this show is the only thing, and I'm happy to get on early because there's a lot of free program stuff. And we can deal, you know, we have an extra hour of local things and other people can get on. I don't want to hog the show. You know, it's Boss Hogg, the mayor, is hogging the show. The city boys have taken over this country, the fringe of the city now. And it shouldn't be the good old days are gone. We've only got the river. We haven't got a choice of 20 beaches. You know, they've locked us out.
So what I'm picking up, decisions are being made and constituents are being left out of the conversation. You just see a sign up and 6 months' time we're going to be doing this.
So, you know, on the wanted poster, I've got, you know, it was a police and Cairns Council joint community project. And then under, I put suspect two and I put Warren Pitt and Brett Moller. You know, they're suspect because, you know, Curtis Pitt's the treasurer. He's got a Murray message, they tell me.
And you haven't had conversations with those people?
Sorry?
You've had no conversations with those people?
No, mate. Every time I go there, the secretary on the desk said, oh, he can't do nothing. Whatever it is, you don't even know what it is. And I didn't want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. And I can't see him. I can't see him. He will not see me. None of them, the press, no one will not see me. They will not deal with it. They will not. This is Mississippi, North Queens, the SOS world. Who I get?
You feel as though you're flogging a dead horse there, Tony?
Well, you know, you've got to flog it, mate, because you might be able to resuscitate it.
True.
You know.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm quick off the mark. You're
sharp, brother. Switched on.
Sharp. Yeah, you've got to stay sharp, but I'm 72.
Yes.
And this is going to be going, and I'm fighting for my missus's country and family's right. They're all complaining to me, and I told the press, they don't want to assemble in a big protest because then we'll get repercussions from the police.
There it is, you know. Brother.
Yeah, so there
well, hopefully they're listening, brother. Hopefully they're listening.
I hope everybody, the whole, and they want to, all they've got to do is unlock the gate and let us all down. And the motorbikes need to stay back, you know, from right
on the river. I can't believe that they still allow motorbikes to go through their motorbike tracks until there's an accident and, you know, someone gets hurt, badly hurt, if not fatality, then they're going to start making decisions.
And if they lock the whole gate on the 31st next Saturday on election day, then no one can go there. And it will be just a motorcycle racetrack and none of the public can get there.
Exactly.
And
go figure.
There's three beautiful big trees in the green patch in the middle. They made an island around it, put a road around it. Yeah, they pay, and there was fires next to that tree yesterday. Well, I don't go up and tell them to put the, you know, they got security there. It's out of control. It's bad development. It's terrible development. It was the green patch of blue, serene place, the riverbank. And what they've done is just obscene to the local indigenous population here. Didn't you, fellow out there, I'm batting for you. They can't go to Goldsbury, you know, because it's just out of control. Farmers with guns going off. And now our own little town in here where the kids go down and fish and swim and things.
All chained up, blocked off.
Locked off, you know. We want fresh air and want to get out and we can't, you know. Anyway, I'll give room for other people, but I've had my say and I'll really
Brother. Thank you very much for sharing, Tony. All the best, brother. Tony Gibbs, air caller from Gordonville, talking about the green patch, very passionate about that area, closed off, the locked gates and what have you. There's a camping area down there in regards to caravans, what have you. That's in itself, to me, is a bit of a I'm bewildered about that happening. How does the Caravan Park Association feel about that regarding losing business? I don't know. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the ball around. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns as BB and Bumble Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Let's go to Miri G. Pobala, Pobala. Did you enjoy?
Pobala, Pobala, me. Pobala, Pobala, me. Pobla, pobla mi, 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 pobla, pobla mi. I'm
Pobla, pobla mi. 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 They give us social security. That's to give us CDP. Government say good now. They trick us with their money. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Sit down in my country. I sit down. Pobla, pobla mi. 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 Pobla, pobla mi.
Hey, what you doing, your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Okay, we're going to catch up a yarn now with artist exhibition curator Warwick Keane. And talk about the topic here. Well, Battle for Belonging exposes trauma and anger as 30 Indigenous artists showcase works. Pre-colonisation, Australia's First Nations people had strong cultural practices denied by alternate histories presented in galleries and museums. One exhibition entitled The Terror Within, that's Terror, T-E-R-R-A, with more than 30 Indigenous artists from across the country, aims to address that. We're going to talk to the brother now on the line. Warwick, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Trevor.
Good, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
I'm from northwestern New South Wales. I identify as a Gomeroi man, with my mother coming from Coonabarabran, around that way, and my grandfather, my mother's father, came from Brewarrina, actually sort of born in Cunnamulla, but when back in the early 20th century, they brought everybody into Brewarrina and set them up in a camp there.
Yep.
So that's my background, northwestern New South Wales.
Deadly footprint, my brother, yep.
Yeah.
Look, fantastic, my brother. And look, as an artist, look, like most First Nation artists, we tell our story, we tell the history of Australia, and also share with the world about our ancestors and 60,000 years of storytelling. So, look, nothing is different in regard to what you guys are doing there, but the terror within TERRA. So, give us a bit of background how it all came together, and congratulations on the exhibition, my brother.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. I came up with that name, and it's sort of implying terror with the earth, and also having a double meaning: terror, the terror inside people that you know, gets passed down transgenerationally, and the results of that sort of impacting on their lives.
Yep.
Since 1770, 1788.
So it's not all about Captain Cook, is it, brother?
I sailed up the south coast here in New South Wales. So I wanted to, get a bit of a, make a connection between the land and the psychology of people and why the impacts that have been you know, forced upon people, brutally forced upon people, and how it's, you know, almost to an annihilation of culture down here on the south coast. I mean, it's pretty strong now, but I wanted to just get a bit of a feeling and reveal to the audience that come in and see the exhibition about the truth. So I've got works in the exhibition that are what I call in-your-face pieces. I've got one at Gordon Hookie's. He's a Queenslander.
Yep.
A big piece there. So, yeah, and Gordon Siren. So I wanted to have some of that in here. Jason Wing, Carla Dickens. They're two very well-known artists who practice out of Sydney, and I worked with them previously. So, you know, I wanted to keep big names out of the show.
Sure.
But as it went on, I realised that I needed some people to...
Some big names.
...add an extra layer of depth. So I looked these guys up. As I said, I've worked with them previously. And Fiona Foley, Dr. Fiona Foley from Fraser Island, bachelor woman. She gave me a film to work with that she produced last year about Fraser Island, and Fiona's work sort of has been addressing the issues of opium use and how it was used to subdue and entice Aboriginal people to keep working for for the man. So these artists, you know, the top calibre artists, urban artists within Australia, they really had like I was saying a minute ago, a serious depth to the show, and that's nice. But I didn't want to overload the show with attack, attack, attack. So what I did was weave in some, quite literally, some works that are just a continuation of culture and resilience. You know, we've got wood carving, we've got basketry, we've got, you know, fish nets made out of natural substances. Mm-hmm. We've got some shell work, which was a major mode of practicing art here in along the south coast.
Yes.
So I wanted to have that in the background so that people see all of the how the culture remains and it's still flowing along, and how the Aboriginal people have maintained and still be able to carry that on, even though, you know, we've got all this the history of colonisation, which, desecrated us. And
exactly.
So, it balances out pretty well, you know. Like, I was talking earlier about, Emily Kame Ningwari. People like her, she's probably one of the most famous Aboriginal artists that's been or most recognised, in the last 30 years, I suppose. Yeah, it'd be about better. And, to have, like I said, Trevor, it's sort of like to have a little bit of Australia in there, but a little bit of
truth-telling
works, which are going to put the question to a lot of the viewers. I was talking to a lady there the other day in the gallery, and, everybody's talking about the show and how good it's been put together. I'm not trying to praise myself up, but she indicated
praise yourself,
that,
brother, praise yourself.
And most people do, a lot of people do anyway. The truth needs to be told. So
exactly.
I've always believed art. I've been an artist, a practicing artist for 40-odd years, and we used to have lots of different exhibitions when I lived out at Tamworth, and would have them down here too. I've always found art to be a great way to break down the barriers, because you get the opportunity to speak about the occurrences, and you get to know the people. People ask the question, you give them the answer from your point of view, and that's what they need to hear. All this whitewash that's been going on, and I was subject to growing up, I was almost the perfect example of what the assimilationist policy was working towards, They
yes.
did a pretty good job on me.
So hearing your story, brother, look, I'm picking up truth-telling, storytelling. The truth need to be heard. Australia's got a history. It's not only white history, it's black history as well. And good or bad, the history is the history, and it needs to be told, yes?
That's the way it goes, Trev. Yeah, it needs to be told. So I think, there's a fair amount of work that comes out that is addressing that now, and people are being educated about
yes.
It's good to see that people are picking up on the truth, and a lot of people want to see the truth. So
exactly.
The more it goes on, the better it's going to be.
So where's the exhibition being held, my friend?
It's being held at the Shoalhaven Regional Gallery in Nowra, New South Wales.
Yep.
It's a long way from Cairns.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And we can't cross the border just yet, brother, but might come down in a dinghy, have a look.
Yeah, well, you've got to get here before the 5th of December.
5th of December, okay, right, yeah. So that's it's open now and it goes right through till the 5th of December, is that right?
That's right, mate.
All yep. right, fantastic. This your first exhibition as a curator?
I've curated smaller ones. This is the
okay.
biggest one I've
Good.
Curated. And, I've talked to some people who are well versed in
curating.
The curator of curators is a friend of mine.
Yes.
But I've got a few little tips off him, a bloke called John Mundine.
Yes.
Probably heard of him.
Yes.
And, but I like working and working things out for myself and putting things together, so I don't
good.
Ask for too much. Too
good,
much,
good, good, good. Get a bit of help there, ideas, but grab the bulls with both horns, so to speak, brother, and make it happen.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way, mate. Yeah, get in and have a go and
exactly.
do the best you can. Do the best you can.
No, too early. Look, congratulations. Thank you for sharing, and to all mob across country and non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well, check out this fantastic exhibition down there at Nowra before the 5th of December. So hopefully Victorian borders open up. Your mob, come on over and have a look. Make sure you get checked first.
Take a week off work.
Yeah, drive exactly. All right, well, Dele, thanks for sharing, Warwick, and all the best to your team, your mob there, your family, and keep doing what you're doing, my cuss.
Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it, mate. Good talking to you.
You take care, brother. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Diddly Young there. Warwick Keane, his name is, artist, exhibition curator. Battle for Belonging exposes trauma and anger as 30 Indigenous artists showcase works, and one of the exhibition entitled The Terror Within, and that's TERRA, with more than 30 Indigenous artists from across the country, aims to address that, to tell them the story, truth-telling, using art as the tool, as the vehicle. Fantastic, and that's how we do it as First Nation people, to tell our story. And we're talking 60,000 years, a lot of stories to be told. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to your mob. 1-800-422-416. This Litterstick band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416. We're live at the First Station radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong here, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up again with Tony Gibbs. Tony, you there?
Yeah, Roddy, brother. Sorry, I missed out something really important today, and I'd like to add it on to what I said earlier on.
Yeah, go ahead.
We still want the protest to go ahead, but this coming week is the election on Saturday the 31st. That's the day that the council planned to shut the gate, or maybe, we don't know. If it's not flooding, they should leave people there. Some people really desperate need it, and I don't upset them. But the Saturday after the elections are over, I won't call it a protest. I'd like people to arrive in cars and just all assemble there like a meeting and just show of strength, and that'll give all local Murrays and all the rest of Gordon Vale community a chance to mingle and be on the same side.
For those concerned citizens, for the Green Patch, brother.
Yeah, concerned citizens for the Green Patch there, mate. You've chucked your bit in, we're a band. So on one side of the road, approaching Cairns, you'll have Pauline Hanson's picture up. I don't know if it's there. I was dreaming I had an oil change. I was going to spray oil on it, but I got. I don't want to get busted because I'm responsible and have to toe the line. But not the Saturday, but the Saturday after. That might be a day to... See, timing is critical for something like this, you know?
Yes.
We want to win, and I saw the Black Lives and the lack of coverage. And again, I go back to what Marsha Langston, and I praised her up last week, because she said that some things they won't report. That's why we have to make our own newspapers and have this show and stuff, you know?
Mm.
But then, not this Saturday is the election, the Saturday after, everybody want to arrive there around after lunchtime or something. Maybe the press will turn up, because I think they will back, but I have to prove I'm not just a voice in the wilderness on my own, and I know there's other people I don't know. And they all say, yeah, good on you, go, you know.
Exactly, brother. Well, thanks for sharing, brother. And, yeah, so for those concerned citizens, if you want to be a part of the Green Patch and the fight for that space,
Not this Saturday, the one after. So that's 2 weeks, so I can have a rest now. And just
by that time, we'll know who's been elected in the state and put their money where their mouth is, so to speak.
Yeah, que sera, sera, but they're all sitting on their bums. You know, I really think that people have locked down. They want to come out too and not be frightened of the world and not get lazy and use it as an excuse, because I really find, you know, I don't want to run the press down, I might need them, but I just can't believe the excuses, and they sound like an outpost. I've got nobody there, I'm only here on my own. Well, it is the outpost, so we haven't got a million people marching over the Harbour Bridge here for reconciliation, but we've got a few people around Gordonvale and Cairns, and I hope Catholic can hear this message too, Cairns and final centre, because what you said, free the Green Patch, what's the word you said, mate?
Concerned citizens.
For the Green Patch. Yeah, and I think the young people, they told me, they put it on social media here and there and stuff.
Use the tools available, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, like, I'm not paranoid, but I've got a healthy suspicion people would like to shut me up, so it's dangerous work, brother.
Fight the good fight. Tony, thank you.
Fight the good fight. Thank you. Thank you for letting me add that on Saturday week.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Tony Gibbs there, a young man fighting for his rights in regard to Green Patch. Look, a beautiful swimming area. Good, we've talked about it before, but, if you're concerned about it, then, attend the gathering, so to speak. Listen, a big shout out to the end of the season for AFL and NRL. The Tigers got up in the AFL on Saturday, and on Sunday the Melbourne Storms got up. So winners are drinners, and that's what it's all about, another season, but a very a different season in regard to COVID-19, which has turned the world upside down, not only in sports, but it was great to have some sort of entertainment. And for those people out there who love their sports, AFL or NRL, you're to witness the season, how it panned out, and also the winners rose to the top. So, look, fantastic. And congratulations there, the gold and black, and also the maroon and white. And that's the purple and white in regard to Melbourne Storms. I've got about 6 minutes on the program, Bob. Have your say, yarn up strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
dark horse Amanda Marshall here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Comes at a time where Murray got a sign off you mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BB and Bumper Brick Media, 98.7 FM. Across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Thank you for your say. Thank you for your company, your mob. And call us again tomorrow, 1-800-422-416. And it's all about, look, staying black, staying deadly, staying strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic, you mob. So take care of yourselves.
There's a breed of man with a calloused hand, for his work is harder than most. And he takes a stand, not on the land, but the deck of a fishing boat. Now his specialty is barramundi, but he'll take a salmon or dew. I've even been told that catfish and all go into the packaging too. So run out the nets, haven't got enough yet, gotta catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannock and a tea, some chips and salad, any way'll do me. Barramundi. The nets haven't got enough yet, gotta catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannock and a tea, some chips and salad, any way'll do me. Barramundi. Now they work with the tide, and tempers are tried by catfish and crab in the net. An occasional shout, how we gonna get it out? There's a bloody big croc in it yet. But a good sharp knife gets them out of strife, they'll cut the reptile free. And the skipper might swear and pull out his hair, it's a rugged old life on the sea. So run out the nets, haven't got enough yet, gotta catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannock and a tea, some chips and salad, any way'll do me. Barramundi. 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 So run out the nets, haven't got enough yet, gotta catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in the flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannock and a tea, some chips and salad, any way'll do me. Barramundi. Now a barramundi boat is fairly small, 12 metres long at the most, with four in a crew all living on stew, for their rations are nothing to boast. And for weeks on end these unshaven men breaking their backs for a crust, just to be let down when they get into town by an unpaying skipper gone bust. So run out the nets, haven't got enough yet, gotta catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in the flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannock and a tea, some chips and salad, any way'll do me. Barramundi.